I'm going to invite you to turn with me to John's Gospel, to John chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 9 of chapter 15 down to verse 15. So John chapter 15, reading from verse 9. Hear the word of God. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. The children want to head out for their program now. You'll know if you attend here that just last week we began a new series of looking at different aspects that affect our lives and looking at the positive and negative of each of those. And I'm going to read the little verse that Alistair originally sent to me, and the title and the verse was this: Proverbs chapter 27 verse 10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbour nearby than a brother far away. And the title was Say No to Self. And I'm going to be really honest. I originally sent him an email going, have you sent me the right reading? Or have you sent me the wrong title? Because I just couldn't get a handle on it originally. And he had sent back some information for me, and he met and he chatted with me and he talked with me. And you know, it's for me over these past few weeks has probably been one of the most challenging pieces that I've had to look at. And as I've had to examine myself and my friendships, because that's what we're looking at tonight, the area of friendship. What do we look for in a friendship? What do we not look for in friendships? What's the importance of having good friends? And what's the impact of good friends on our lives and on the life of the church? So just for a moment, I want you to reminisce of some of the things that I've been thinking through over these past weeks. And for the very first thing, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the first friend that you ever remember having? The first friend that you ever had. Okay, got a picture? For me, it was a guy called Timothy. I was very much a loner at primary school and at secondary school. I didn't mix very much. But Timothy was a friend who lived about 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes walks, from my grandmother's. And he was the same age as me. And he really was my sort of a hero at that young 5-6-year-old. He was a bit of a daredevil. He was always into things. My grandmother's house was in a cul-de-sac up at Wandsworth in East Belfast, and there was a hill that you could come down to, and then a T-junction at the bottom of the road, the Wandsworth Road, if anybody knows that area. And it was a cracker hill, so it was. But if you went too fast on your bike, then you had a bit of a problem stopping before the T-junction. And Timothy used to be on his bike, head down, bombing down this hill, and always managed just to stop at the T-junction. But what I should also add in about Timothy was that Timothy had was born with thalidomide. He had no arms, he just had two hands on his shoulders with about three fingers in one hand and about four in the other. He wore calipers on both legs, and it never, ever stopped him. The only thing that would have stopped him sometimes when was other kids maybe would have pushed him down, and it was a struggle sometimes to get back up onto his feet. But he always kept going. And the friendship ended because he went off to another school. And I didn't see him again until probably about 15 years ago. And I was driving through Belfast, and this car came flying past. And as it came flying past, somebody cut in. And I'll not say what he did or what he said, but as soon as I looked, I knew who it was. And I subsequently then was able to go on Google, as you can do, and read little bits and pieces about his life and the things he was involved in. But I remember just the excitement of those days when we were riding the bicycles together. What's the longest friendship that you've had or you have? What's the longest friendship? How long? Is there one particular person who you've been friends with for many years? My longest friendship goes back to 1977, to a friend, Karen. We met in the police cadets. We came through police cadets together, and then I went to Old Park, she went to Tennant Street. We worked on a unit in Tennant Street dealing with child abuse together. We lived near one another. And so I've known her since 1977, so about 41 years I've known her. She now lives just down in Antrim. We dropped in and out of each other's lives over the years. And it's a friendship that, even if I haven't been talking to her for a year, maybe 2 years, you can phone or she'll phone, and it's as if you were talking yesterday. You just automatically picked up where you left off, catch up, and on you go. Friendships. Who's your closest friend? You may have lots of friends. You may have different people that you're close to. But who's your closest friend? I'm blessed that I have a few very close friends who I can share with. One of the friends I've known for about 20 plus years, who's been through with me some of my darkest days, some of my toughest periods in my own life. She knows the worst about me, and even knowing the worst about me, she stayed in the friendship when others walked away. In a magazine, people were asked to describe what friendship means, and the winner of the competition said this: a friend is the person who walks in when everyone else has walked out. Gail was that person for me who walked in when others had walked out. But perhaps, like most people, you'll have a circle of friends that you know at a distance, some you'll know better, and a few, or maybe one or two, who know you really well. Who know when you're in a good mood, and know when you're not in a good mood, who will know when something's annoying you, will know by the tone of your voice, will know by the way that you walk, will know by the way that you act, will know just everything about you. But think also of those friendships that didn't last or haven't lasted. Sometimes friendships can simply drift apart. Sometimes they can be for a season. Sometimes we may choose to end a friendship. Or a friend may choose to end a friendship with us. They might unfriend us, as it says on Facebook. And if you Google that word unfriend, you'll find about 70-odd thousand people who have written in to say, if you unfriend somebody on Facebook, does that mean they're not really your friend outside of Facebook? Or can they be your friend in Facebook and not be your friend outside that? friendships can be painful and difficult things as well as being good things. Scripture tells us of some of the friendships that we need to end and why we need to end them. The Apostle Paul was very clear in his letter to the church at Corinth, the danger of being in the wrong friendship group. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And what I find fascinating is that earlier in Corinthians in 5:11, it isn't those outside of the church that Paul is warning about. It's those who are in the church. It is those who belong to a church, who attend a church, who go to all the different things within it. In 1 Corinthians 5:9, he says, "I've written to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people." Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or greedy or swindlers or adulterers. In that case, you would have to leave this world. "But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, or a swindler. With such men, do not even eat." Paul's very clear. You need to choose your friends carefully. You need to be careful about the company that you keep. And the Old Testament too warns about the danger of having friends in the church who will lead you away from God. Deuteronomy 13 says this, "If your very own brother or your own son or daughter or the wife you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, 'Let us go and worship other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, gods of the other people around you, whether near or far, from one end of the land to the other,' do not yield to him or listen to him." Be careful of those around you. Be careful of friends who will lead you away from God. Will your friends make mistakes? Yes. Will you and I as friends make mistakes? Yes. The friends around you may drag you down. The friend that you are may drag other people down. Your friends can lift you up. You can lift your friends up. You and I need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to examine the type of friends that we have and the type of friends that we are. So what's the opposite of that, of those that are bad friends? What makes a good friend, and how can we be a good friend? There are characteristics that I want us to look at in friendships that Jesus had, and I believe that we can and we should replicate. And here's four characteristics. Unconditional love. Unwavering support. A willingness to challenge. Full of grace. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times." And in the passage that we read earlier from John 15, Jesus tells us that we're to love one another as he has loved us. He went on to say, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus loved the disciples. These men that he spent days, weeks, months with. He had seen them at their very best. He had seen them at their very worst. And yet he still loved them. He had listened to their bickering, their fighting, their jealousies of one another, and he still loves them. He loves them all the same. But even in loving them all the same, his friendship with them was on different levels. With the 12, he shared everyday things. But then there were times when he took Peter, James, and John out of the group and shared with them on a deeper level. He allowed them into parts of his life that revealed a lot more about him, right down to that night in Gethsemane. When in that moment, in that night in Gethsemane, he allowed these three to be with him when he was going through his deepest pain and when he was about to face some of his worst moments. And we know what happened that night when they fell asleep. And yet at the cross, he can still look to John and say to John, "Look after my mother." On the shoreline with Peter, he can show him love, unconditional love and forgiveness and amazing grace. Even with Judas, he would wash his feet. He would spend those last moments showing him friendship. He was a friend to all sorts of people. People that we didn't really expect him to be friends with. But he also had other friendships. In this past week, I've been thinking about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Three friends whom he stayed with, whom he shared meals with. Friends to whom he showed unwavering support, but was also ready to challenge them when they needed to be challenged. We'll know the story of Martha. She's preparing the meal. And you know that she loses her temper. And yet Jesus is prepared to challenge her when her attitude is out of line. But he does it in a compassionate and a loving way. "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what's better, and it'll not be taken away from her." He challenges her in such a way that her faith actually grows. And we see it grow because later we meet her at the tomb of her brother. And there she is sharing with Jesus, saying, "If you had only been here, then things would have been so different." And it's at the tomb where Jesus shows his friendship as he stands alongside both Mary and Martha. He just is being there with them as a friend. Yes, a miracle is about to happen, but first and foremost, he's his friend with them. And he weeps with them. And it's in that weeping that those around looking on says, "See how he loves them." And so the picture is painted in scripture like the song, "You're my friend and you're my brother, even though you are a king." Jesus fulfills all of those roles. He walks with his friends through every stage of their lives. He weeps with them. He laughs with them. He prayed with them. He prayed for them. He wanted to bring out the very best of them on a daily basis. And when that wasn't happening, he challenged them to change their ways. When I came to faith, my aunt spoke to me about an unshakable friend who would never leave me nor forsake me. I've never forgotten about that. Alistair spoke about it this morning. He spoke about the one who would never leave us or forsake us. He spoke about an incredible friend. And whilst I am blessed, and I am really blessed, I have many friends, some who are here tonight and others further afield. Friends who love me, friends who encourage me, friends who pray with me and for me. friends who have gone out of their way to show love to me, there are still restrictions on how far that friendship can go. But with Jesus, there are no restrictions. He's the one who's always there. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I can always talk to him. I can tell him everything that's going on in my life and he will always listen. He will always have the very best advice for me and he always lavishes me with his love. I have good friends. But my best friend, the very best friend, is Jesus. So how do I bring him? How do we bring him into church? And what is the impact if we do that? Well, maybe we need to look at what that title of the sermon was I said at the start, Say No to Self. That when I come into this building, when I come to an organization, when I come to church, maybe I should come with a different attitude. Maybe I shouldn't be coming thinking, what am I going to get from this tonight? Instead of, what am I going to give to this tonight? You see, the picture of the church is one that couldn't wait to meet together. Acts 4 and 2 says that all the believers were in one in heart and mind. Everybody was looking out for one another, caring for one another, encouraging one another, meeting the needs of each other. And isn't that what friendships do? What if each organization you went to wasn't a group of individuals meeting, but a group of friends who were meeting? What if you come in here on a Sunday and you went to look for a pew to sit in, that instead of thinking that you're sitting beside strangers who you don't know or names you don't know, that you actually began to think that you were sitting beside friends? Friends who care about you. Friends who want to encourage you. Friends who want to see you grow in your faith. Friends who want to pray for you. Friends who want to pray with you. Maybe if we change how we think about those around us on a Sunday, then the atmosphere and how we feel in here might change also. See, at the start, when I said to you to shake hands, you didn't stop. Most of you automatically start doing that and smiling at people and sharing the right hand of fellowship. And you could see the difference around the place. When we share as friends, God changes us. And he changes what goes on around us. I've spent this past couple of days really thinking about the friendships that I have and thinking what I bring as a friend to those. There's some that I need to contact and see how they're doing. There's some that I need to make time for. There's some that maybe need to know that I care about them. What about you tonight? What about your friendships? What sort of a friend are you? How are your friendships in the church? And is there somebody here tonight, and maybe what you need to know most of all is that there's an unshakable friend there for you who will never leave you, never forsake you, who will listen to you every day, no matter what time of the day they are, who will lavish love on you, who wants to see the very best in your life and longs that you would call him friend. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a friend, a brother, and a king. I thank you for the different friendships that you had throughout Scripture as we read. How you give people time. From what society saw as the lowest of the low, you drew alongside them and you held out a hand and you made a difference in their lives. May we make a difference in the friendships that we have. And may we make a difference in this church and befriend those who need to be befriended. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name.